Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, let us hear God's word. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you the truth, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you now asking that through your Holy Spirit, you would feed us with your word. And we ask, Heavenly Father, if it please you, that you would even begin a revival within us, individually and corporately. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have all heard the scripture that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Well, what does that mean? It just means that many times God acts in a way to accomplish his goals that are really quite opposite of the way we would try to do it. God uses the weak things of the earth to shame the things that are strong. God uses the poor things of the earth to nullify the things that are rich. God uses unrighteous men to display his righteousness and grace and mercy. God grants forgiveness to the outward sinner, and he passed by the one who is inwardly self-righteous. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We wrongly assume that God helps those who help themselves. We think that if a person gets their life together and starts living in the right way, that God will bless them. We think that people should pull themselves up by their moral bootstraps because that's the kind of people that God will show favor to. We assume that God looks for the righteous man for God to set his love upon. But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God has sovereignly chosen, not righteous people, but God has sovereignly chosen unrighteous people to be his people. All through scriptures we see this. All through the Old Testament, we're given the accounts of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. All these men, the Holy Spirit doesn't camouflage or veil their moral reality to us, but shows us clearly that these were unrighteous men, great sinners, whom God poured out his love and mercy upon them. The scriptures say that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in order that in the coming ages God might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Paul says that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and Paul says that he was the worst one. Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners. It is not the healthy that need the physician, but it is the sick that need the great physician. And though most people know that they are a sinner, very seldom will you meet somebody who denies that they have not done something wrong in their life. But people do not realize that they are wicked sinners. They think that they're kind of a good sinner. You know, I do this good, I do that good. Yeah, every now and then I do something wrong, but I did this to make up for that. They reject the idea that they are bad sinners. In our passage this morning, Jesus is telling us a parable that is designed to convict us of our trust in ourselves and to convict us of thinking that we are a righteous people. Like the Apostle Paul, the Pharisees, Paul was a Pharisee. Like Paul, the Pharisees had great conceit in themselves. They prized their outward goodness. They had a high opinion of their own righteousness. They thought that their morality commended them to God. They looked down upon others who did not measure up to their standards. But Christ, by this parable, will show the folly of the hypocrite. He reveals the sin of the Pharisees. And he reveals the sin of the Pharisees as being our sin as well. Well, first we find the Pharisee praying in the temple. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a righteous thing. That's a good moral thing, to be praying in the temple. The Pharisees says, God, I thank you I'm not like all other men. You know, those robbers and evildoers and adulterers. And even like this other guy standing over here, this tax collector. I thank you, God, that I am not like them. Now, the Pharisee would not deny that he is a sinner. But he would affirm that he is a sinner who lives on the right side of town. He's a good sinner, a good moral sinner. They denied that they were wicked sinners. They compared themselves to the worst of society, and thus they came to the conclusion that, you know what? I'm pretty good after all. Because look at that tax collector over there. I ain't like him a bit. But in contrast to men's idea of whom God favors, God chooses to pour out his love to the sinner who knows that he is a bad sinner, a great sinner. Verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What is Jesus saying? Well, he's saying that the way up is down. The way to go to heaven is to humble yourself before God. To depend upon the righteousness of Christ solely for your salvation. Not what Christ does plus a little bit of sprinkling, you know, of my good works. No. You humble yourself before God. And you cling to Christ and Him only. The way up is down. You do not exalt yourself, but you humble yourself before God. You see, the Pharisee, he came to God with a compliment about himself. The tax collector came to God with a complaint about himself. The Pharisee came with a design to be commended by God. The tax collector came because he knew he was condemned by God. The Pharisee, he prayed in order that others would hear him. The tax collector prayed in order that God would hear him. God pours out his love to great sinners who know they are great sinners. And God withholds his grace and mercy from those who stand upon their own self-righteousness. You know, a rich man, he has a choice of the finest foods, and he takes little thought as to where his next meal is going to come from. But the pauper, the one who has nothing, depends each moment upon God to provide for him. Those who see themselves as good sinners, they don't depend upon Christ. Those who see themselves as great wicked sinners, they know that that's all they have is Jesus Christ. David understood that he was a great sinner. Here's the king of Israel. The scriptures even call him a prophet. So he's prophet and king. What does he think about himself? He said, "I was a sinner from birth." A sinner from birth. He describes himself as a great sinner, even in the womb. Before he was born, he was a great sinner. And because he understood that, he goes on to describe God's love as unfailing. His compassions are great. His mercy is abundant. You know, you only appreciate the value of clean water when you are filthy, dirty. You can only appreciate the grace and the love of God when you know that you're filthy with sin. Those who are forgiven much will love much. I want you to think about what the Apostle Paul says in our first scripture reading. We have Paul revealing what he thinks about himself. And then years later, what he thinks about himself. And then years later, what he thinks about himself. Early in his ministry, he compares himself to one of the leaders in the church. "I'm an apostle. I am least of the apostles, but I am an apostle." About halfway through his ministry, he compares himself to the people of God. "I am one of the people of God. I am least among the people of God, but I'm part of the chosen, the elect." Then at the end of Paul's life, how does he describe himself? "Man, I am the chief of sinners. God, have mercy upon me." Do you see what's going on? Do you see the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit there in Paul's life and in your life and in my life. The work of the Holy Spirit there is not to affirm your righteousness. The work of the Holy Spirit is to continually show you your unrighteousness so that you will fall out of love with yourself and cling to Christ and Him only. That is the pattern, the work of the Holy Spirit. To illumine you to what you really are, but to do so in order to illumine you to who Christ really is for you. Not Christ and your good works, but just give me Jesus. That's all I need. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What about you? Are you a showcase for God's grace? Or do you want to be a showcase for your self-righteousness? Do you know the depth of your sin and depravity? Or do you turn away from it in order to affirm your goodness? This table is a visible sermon of God's grace to sinners, and not just sinners, to bad sinners, to wicked sinners, to chief of sinners. Through the broken body of Christ and the shedding of Jesus' blood, God calls great and wicked sinners to participate in the blessings of Christ. Like the tax collector, do you know yourself to be an unlikely candidate for God's love and goodness? Then praise God. Praise God for that love that will not let you go. Take comfort from the good news that though God starts with a flawed material, He doesn't stop until He molds us and makes us after His will while we are waiting and still. The way to heaven, y'all, the way upward is down. The way to receive the blessings of God is not to commend yourself, but to complain about yourself and then look to Christ, for He will heal you. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Christ. We thank You for the amazing grace that You have poured out upon us. For we are great sinners. We have turned our backs upon You time and time again. We have loved the things of the world, but You have loved us more. We thank You for the work of Christ in our life. And now, Heavenly Father, as we prepare for the sacrament, we pray that You would open up our hearts and our minds to the love of Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let us prepare for the sacrament as we stand and sing hymn number 87.